tuning in from the car? Flips it for the touchdown! Stay connected to the Roar after you run your errands using our app or website. Download the Roar app on your phone by searching WCCPFM The Roar in the App Store. Or tune in on our website, theroarfm.com/listen.
We welcome you back in, everybody. Facts on Sports with Faxon and John continues right here on the Roar. 654-ROAR is the number if you'd like to join us real quick before we hop back into the action. Mahindra of Anderson is where you need to go if you're looking for a UTV, tractor, trailer, or tractor attachment. They guarantee to beat any competitor's price and offer the best customer service and quality parts in the upstate. Mahindra of Anderson offers financing and can also quote your trade-in. Visit MahindraofAnderson.com or in person on Pierman Dairy Road to check out their inventory and talk with one of their knowledgeable and friendly staff members. Mahindra, the number one selling tractor in the world. We've been talking college football. We're talking LSU, Brian Kelly. Texter gets in and says, would LSU go after somebody like Cignetti, maybe a Lincoln Riley? What about Coach Prime? People are throwing a lot of things out on the Adams Co-Roofing text line because of this discourse. I'm not sure where I'm at on LSU football this year, and I'm not sure where I'm at on Brian Kelly's status, and I don't know what it would take for them to pull the trigger on him, but I think as far as replacements go, a bunch of the names thrown out make sense. I'm going to shut down the Coach Prime thing right now. I don't think that's ever going to happen in Baton Rouge. I'm not sure about what the culture fit looks like there. And I also think that Deion is more committed, which is what we've maintained on this program the whole time. Deion's more committed to Colorado than people think. And he's not going to Florida State either because those bridges have been burned. So I think Deion's staying put for a while. But, John, before we shift gears to other teams, other topics, anything else to add on this whole saga about Baton Rouge and Brian Kelly?
Yeah, I got his buyout here. Brian Kelly's contract specifies that LSU would owe him 90% of his remaining contract value if terminated without cause. So if he is fired in November of 2025, LSU would have to cut him a check or multiple checks over time of $51.7 million.
He ain't getting fired.
You're still paying the Coach O buyout.
He's not getting fired. He is not getting fired.
In November of 2026, it drops to $42.5 million. In 27, $33.1 million.
Get ready to learn Baton Rouge for a couple more years, Brian Kelly. Because, listen.
Because now you're adding $20.5 million that you have to pay to your student athletes. And guess what? I have a good feeling LSU's going to pay all $20.5 million to their student athletes.
You're still paying the Ed O buyout.
I think you're getting about done with that, but you've still been on the hook for that.
You've influxed men's basketball with a ton of NIL money this year, but if it doesn't work out, you're going to have to fire McMahon and pay another buyout because he has like an 8-year contract. So that has to be accounted for in this as well.
Your baseball program isn't cheap. Your women's basketball program
is not cheap.
Correct.
Yeah, and is out-recruiting everyone because they're paying hundreds of thousands of dollars in NIL. I think that might cement, seeing the buyout details might cement my take. Brian Kelly's not getting fired after this year because it's not a can they afford it. I'm sure they could rally the troops and they're going to get another good coach, but is it worth what would end up being like a $70 million total investment?
At least.
To fire and then rehire another good coach? Like, is that. Are you going to do that much better than Brian Kelly to where it's worth 70 plus mil to cut ties?
And then, not only that, but you would have to spend all that money to make sure you have a better coaching staff around next head coach than Brian Kelly had around him.
And they're going to want a better roster.
And then what happens when a coach gets canned? We have that little 30-day window that opens for the transfer portal that everybody can leave, which, I mean, already exists at the end of the season. So then you have to come up with all this money to buy a whole new roster. So it becomes very, very difficult to pull off financially if that's what you choose to do.
John, you remember earlier in the program where I told you that I was expecting Miles Turner to be in that $25 to $30 million range, and I thought it made sense for both parties for him to return to Indiana? Well,
yes.
I was one for two. Miles Turner is in the $25 to $30 million range with Milwaukee. Breaking news as of right now, Miles Turner has inked a 4-year, $170 million deal with the Milwaukee Bucks, a player option for the year 4, and a 15% trade kicker. and Shams described it as a stunner because as of last night, the same messaging from Shams and the ESPN crew was that Turner and the Pacers were nearing an extension.
Well, look at that. Shams is wrong again.
This has not been a good offseason for Shams at all. So, yeah, I mean, Giannis Antetokounmpo is retooling a roster. And listen, I still don't think they're on the level of a team like Cleveland, Atlanta, or Orlando, but they're much more of a power play. And that's a real sentence in 2025. But here we are, and they're now a much more of a power player than they were 30 minutes ago with Miles Turner. So they also inked Bobby Portis to an extension a couple days ago. So their front court is cemented with Giannis, Portis, and Miles Turner. They're still going to work on potentially another re-up for a Gary Trent Jr. They've got A.J. Green under contract, so I'm not sure where they're going at guard, but Milwaukee's got an infrastructure in the front court to where they can make the playoffs at minimum in the Eastern Conference. So there's your little bit of NBA breaking news. A little bit of a stunner as Miles Turner is headed to the Milwaukee Bucks. But shifting gears back to college football, John, I think it becomes very increasingly unlikely that LSU makes a move after this year after seeing the buyout details. If they were, we've had a bunch of Garrett Riley-related texts. My response to that on GR would be, I think Garrett Riley is probably going to have to take a mid-major job, an upper echelon mid-major job, or a low-tier P4 before he gets like a crazy upper echelon P4. Maybe I'm wrong.
The only, and I tend to agree with you. The only pushback I would have to that is we are starting to see the way in which big programs are hiring change. No longer is it as beneficial to go down to the Sun Belt or to go down to the American or the MAC or what have you.
Yeah.
Cut your teeth as a coach, as a head coach, prove that you can be a head coach and then get the next bump up. What we have seen over the last few cycles is either we're going to retread, we're going to poach,
yeah,
or we're going to take a coordinator from one of the top contenders. What I find it fascinating, the amount of texts we have received this morning about Clemson fans saying, well, should Garrett Riley be the next head coach at here? I want Garrett Riley to be the offensive coordinator at Clemson as long as he possibly can be.
For sure.
But that path is more likely than it has been in the past.
I agree.
I think the way that Oregon hit on the Dan Lanning hire as the defensive coordinator for the, you know, national contenders, the Georgia Bulldogs, I think we see more hires like that in the future than we have seen, where you'll give a guy keys to a big-time program where he's never been a head coach before. Now, in terms of Garrett Riley straight to LSU, I don't know about all of that. Like I said, I tend to agree with you, Faxon, that once we took a look at the finances,
yeah,
that he would probably be back for another year. But I do think that that path is more open than it has been in the past. But I do think that I would see him more likely in a, oh, they decide to pull the plug on Sonny Dykes at TCU, or, you know, maybe something along that level. I just don't see the amount of financial investment that is made annually to LSU football.
Yeah.
That you are going to put all of that on the shoulders of Garrett Riley right now.
Agreed. And I think I'll go ahead and throw something at the wall because we may as well. It's June or it's July. Arkansas would be a name that I would keep your eye on for potentially a Garrett Riley. Like, if we're talking hot seat, if we're talking, is Garrett Riley going to make the move? Number one, I don't think he would make the move to become the next head coach, and I don't want to speculate at any of these places. Number two, obviously our rooting interest is for Garrett Riley to stay put as the offensive coordinator of Clemson. And number three, if you're looking at SEC schools that could have a coach on the hot seat that would be more willing to hire a guy with the experience of Garrett Riley, I would go with a school like Arkansas.
So we have seen two examples come here in the text line pushing back at what I have said. Ryan Day and Lincoln Riley. Ryan Day and Lincoln Riley were current offensive coordinators for a head coach who resigned and were handed the keys to the job. Bob Stoops and Urban Meyer both retired, and they were both promoted from within. So if that's the case, then what you were telling me is then Dabo Swinney is going to retire and you're going to give the job to Garrett Riley. Based on just, you know, the way the texts are coming in.
I would.
I'm not trying to say that. I don't want to have that conversation today. We have actual tangible topics we can talk about.
Right.
Just all I'm saying.
Yeah. I love Garrett Riley. I think he's a great coach, and I want him to be a Tiger as long as possible, regardless of what the role calls for. That's what I'll say on that. So hopefully GR stays put, and if anybody else is listening from another staff, shoo, we don't need you here. Garrett Riley's terrible. You don't look at the stats from last year's Clemson offense, is what I would have to say to any athletic director trying to hire Garrett Riley right now. But in all seriousness, John, I want to shift gears to another team, and it's applicable because – this team has matched off against squared off against LSU in the opener each of the last couple seasons. And this team is a team that has made a lot of headlines for the wrong reasons. And we've discussed a lot of the, you know, off the court, off the field theatrics, if you will, throughout the course of the offseason. But one of the biggest topics for us introducing this show to this time slot last year, and one of the biggest teams that was making national storylines, would be the Seminoles and Florida State. And I've seen you put two things on the fact or fiction for us here. And it's kind of both of the parallels of the conversation of what could happen this year for Florida State, because I think we would agree the ceiling is probably higher than some would realize, but the floor is also 2-10, because that was what was just showcased to us. So I kind of want to, you know, reform the fact or fiction here and kind of give what's more likely with another coach that could be in these hot seat conversations with a big buyout attached to his name that's had some ups and downs throughout the course of his career at this destination. Let's talk Seminoles. What's more likely? Florida State bounces back and wins 7-plus games this year, or Mike Norvell finishes another season without the bowl game and might get fired as a result of that? Where's your head at on the Seminoles football-related headed into this upcoming season? Felt like a natural tie there because they played LSU in the opener the last couple seasons, and now they have to play a different SEC school in the opener in the Alabama Crimson Tide.
I lean more on the camp of Florida State misses a bowl game than I do 7-5, 8-4. I think that it's – you come out, drop some of these games here. I think if the Alabama game gets away from you, I think that's a real big problem, just solely because of the messaging your quarterback has chosen to put out there. You know, we've talked about it before. We talked about it a good bit last week, the RoarFM.com, where I laid out the case of their schedule. I'll lay it out here again for those who may have missed it. And the framing of it is that they miss a bowl game. Gus Malzahn is fired, and Mike Norvell is firmly on the hot seat because I don't know if they're going to shout about $60-something million dollars this offseason to fire him.
Yeah.
So I think they lose to Alabama, you beat East Texas, and you beat Kent State. I think that Friday night in Charlottesville is about as big of a game and must-win for a team as there is in the country. I think right now I'm giving that game to Virginia, and then I think they lose to Miami. And so if that's the case, you're 2-3 after your first five. You mean to tell me this team's now going to fight for Mike Norvell when they didn't a year ago with only two wins at about this same part of the schedule? I think Pitt's a better team than them. I think that trip to Stanford could be a problem if you're not bought in and caring. I still think even if they're not paying attention, they could beat Wake Forest, but you know at Clemson, Virginia Tech, and you close at NC State and at Florida? Yeah. I don't think this team's going to a bowl game. I think the Gus Malzahn thing will be a one-year wonder. And Mike Norvell will be on the hottest seat in the entire country coming into the fall of 2026.
Is this the most comparable team and kind of infrastructure around the coaching staff that we see in the country to LSU? Because the way that I view it, I think that the majority of both fan bases probably would think that a move would or should come if a losing season happens or if a season below the standard, yet both programs could face some restrictions because of the buyout and the finances.
I think the buyout is about the only two things that are in common here. I think Brian Kelly is 10 times the football coach Mike Norvell is.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. And I think, you know, a bad year for LSU this year is, what, 7-5, 8-4?
Yeah.
A bad year for Florida State's 2-10 again. I think the floor is so much lower with Mike Norvell in his program. Yeah, I think the only thing that is similar here is the buyout and the difficulty it would be if you decide you want to make a change. But I think LSU is run so much better with a lot more substance and a way higher floor than Florida State is.
I agree with that. On the front of just evaluating Norvell's career and tenure at Florida State, I have a little bit of difficulty, and I tend to side with you that he probably gets overrated in some of these coaching conversations. But how do you evaluate 3-6 to 5-7 to 10-3 to 13-1 to 2-10?
Like it's inconsistent.
It was a consistent improvement over the course of three consecutive seasons than to just have all of the progress that you established wiped out with one season of colossal failure that was worse than any failure your program has seen in the last, like, five decades of football.
Well, you had in those three seasons of growth a quarterback who got better every single season.
That is true. And it does feel like you got to give Norvell a little bit of credit for that as a part of it.
So we need to take a break here because we have breaking news in the NFL. We had a big-time trade go down yesterday between the Steelers and the Dolphins. The Dolphins have made a corresponding move. And we're going to talk about it and how fact or fiction does it make sense on the other side of this break.
All right, let's take a quick break. We'll shift gears to the National Football League right after this here on The Roar.
Call the plumber whose name is his number.
Plumber fast.
I always call One Tom Plumber.
One Tom what?
Here, dial the number one, then Tom Plumber. Or just tell your smartphone to call One Tom Plumber. They promise to be there in an hour.
Call the plumber whose name is his number one, Tom Plumber. One Tom Plumber.
Is your garage door making strange noises? Stuck halfway, or just not working like it should? American Doormasters has the solution. We specialize in repairing existing garage doors, replacing old or damaged doors, and fixing door springs. Need a new garage door opener or a quick tune-up? We handle it all. With fast, professional service, we'll get your garage door running smoothly again. Call American Doormasters today at 864-634-0427 or visit AmericanDoormasters.com for a free estimate. We keep your garage door in top shape every time.
When you wake up well-rested on a great mattress, everything becomes clear.
I do have a favorite child.
Things you missed when you were tired finally reveal themselves.
I should have just said the baby was cute.
It's the Actually Really Seriously best sale of the year for real at Mattress Firm. Get a king bed for a queen price. Save up to $700 on Sealy and get a free adjustable base, plus fast free delivery. The right mattress matters. We'll find yours. Restrictions apply. See store or mattressfirm.com for details.
At Lake Huey Ford and Lake Huey Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, we offer transparent pricing. You get the manufacturer's rebate. You get the dealer discount. You get every available discount. Military, college grad, subprime credit. If there's a discount you qualify for, we'll find it and give it to you. That's how Lake Huey guarantees you get the best price. And that's why if you buy somewhere else, you're gonna pay too much. So come see us. We're on Highway 123 between Seneca and Clemson and always open at LakeHueyAutoGroup.com.
See dealer for details.
Did you hear that? Lake Huey Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram and Lake Huey Ford offer transparent pricing, meaning you get every available discount. And right now, the discounts are huge because at Lake Huey, it's the final days of employee pricing for everyone. You pay what the factory worker pays, not a penny more. And the best part, with Lake Huey's transparent pricing, you see all of the savings. So go see the team at Lake Huey. They're on Highway 123 between Seneca and Clemson and always open at LakeHueyAutoGroup.com.
Braves fans, step up your sock game with Clemson Sock Shop and make every step a home run. That's right. Clemson Sock Shop has all the fun, funky, nostalgic socks to make you stand out in the crowd. Whether you're cheering on the Braves at the stadium, watching the game on the couch, or listening to the game recap on the Roar during your morning commute, gear up with Clemson Sock Shop. It's fun fashion for your feet. And as always, buy five, get one free. Located inside Newteek Boutique on Pendleton Square.
Come on back for the Tuesday edition of Out of Bounds, noon to 3 right here on the Roar. Start July off right with a look at college football. We are going to have tons of college football news and notes, including our all-quarter-century Clemson defense. We did offense on Monday's show. We're going to do that again with your help on Tuesday, so you're going to want to come in for that. Plus, we'll get you ready for Braves, Angels, and survey the entire landscape of Major League Baseball. All that and more on a Tuesday. Join us.
The Black Friday and July event from Dell Technologies is here with great offers on trusted technology. You'll also discover huge deals on new AI-ready laptops like the Dell 14 Plus featuring Intel Core Ultra processors starting at $699.99. Save on top accessories, plus enjoy fast, free shipping and other benefits. Upgrade today by visiting Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
Live and local sports talk coming to you from the Upcountry Fiber Studios.
This is 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar.
Serving the five counties of the South Carolina upstate, Upcountry Fiber is a stronger connection.
Clemson Country, college football fans, this is your show, and this is The Roar.
Welcome you back in, everybody. Facts on Sports with Facts and Childress and John Hyde continues right here on The Roar. In the midst of the break, we have two of the most mind-boggling pieces of breaking news that you can imagine in different sports. I'll give the floor to John for the NFL to start us, and I just don't, like, I don't know what to say to this, so just go ahead.
So yesterday, we were on the air when a trade went down between the Pittsburgh Steelers in the Miami Dolphins, where Jalen Ramsey and Jonnu Smith were traded to the Steelers for Minkah Fitzpatrick and a fifth-round pick.
Blockbuster deal.
It was a big deal. Jonnu Smith, former tight end of the Miami Dolphins, coming off a career year where he was, what, over 800 yards, 8 touchdowns.
Yeah.
It's going to be a huge piece of the Steelers' offense this year. So the question was, we knew what they were going to do to kind of replace some of Jalen Ramsey within that secondary by bringing back Minkah Fitzpatrick.
Yes.
But the question was, who is going to play tight end for the Miami Dolphins in 2025? Well, Faxon, we have that question answered. A trade between the Dolphins and the New York Giants just took place, where the Dolphins are sending the New York Giants a 2026 sixth-round pick in exchange for a 2027 seventh-round pick and a tight end who's coming out of retirement in Darren Waller, signing him to a one-year, $5 million deal to play tight end for the Miami Dolphins. What?
Tampering? How are they convincing a player that wasn't playing on their team to come out of retirement as the structure of a trade? Is my first thought of that. Is that has to be tampering to some degree, unless Waller expressed his interest to the Giants. Nobody told anybody, and they were shopping him behind closed doors. Feels like there has to be some level of tampering that went on here. I don't really care.
I'm just shocked that somebody's buying.
I'm shocked that that's what I was going to say, too, is like you're giving up real draft capital for Darren Waller out of retirement? I don't hate it for Miami. When you're desperate, and you take the shot on the upside, and like, listen, the dude's a monster when he's got everything together, right? But
boy, Miami, the front office of the Dolphins have shown us this offseason, they are not serious at all. They are not serious at all.
That is genuinely,
but you know what?
Mind-boggling.
The news that I shared pales in comparison to actual on-field magnitude to what you have to give the listening audience here, Faxon.
Yes. Yeah, so
this is more important. Mine was more comical. Because normally you see people retire to Florida,
yeah,
not coming out of retirement to go to Florida.
So we mentioned during the last segment that Milwaukee has inked a four-year, $107 million deal with Miles Turner, the center from Indiana, who was a pretty big part of why they made the finals this year. I don't think he's a perfect player, right? He's got flaws, and you know he didn't have a great finals, but he's a big man that shoots threes and protects the rim. That's valuable in the modern NBA. So they ink him to this four-year, $107 million deal, 15% trade kicker, player option, all the stops out for Miles Turner, right? And I'm thinking in the back of my head, well, where's this money? Because they just extended Portis, as we talked about. Giannis is making the max, and Dame's making the max. Well, that's where the breaking news comes in, John. Something that I cannot remember seeing to this degree in magnitude, maybe even in the history of this league, on a max contract slated to make like $60 million this year, the Milwaukee Bucks are waiving Damian Lillard, and stretching his remaining $113 million on his contract in order to acquire Miles Turner. Lillard's two seasons in Milwaukee come to an end as he rehabilitates his torn Achilles tendon. So when you look at the contract now and what Damian Lillard was owed on the back half of this for Milwaukee and what they would have been getting themselves into had they forged forward with Damian Lillard, it's a two-year $112 million deal. So over $60 million a year for Damian Lillard's services is now being quote-unquote stretched over 5 years for Milwaukee, so which I guess is going to count against their cap on a year-to-year basis is the way that I'm understanding this, John. This is the first we've really seen of something like this that I can remember for a player making this much money that's as good of a player as Damian Lillard as well. Wow. What are your thoughts?
You had to find a way to make the money work, and it looks like they did. I'm just trying to process how I would be told, hey, listen, we're going to give you $113 million not to come to work anymore. I'm just trying to process how I would handle that news. Because if I'm Damian Lillard, I'd never dribble basketball again. I mean, I would just be so done. Because in the NBA, it's all guaranteed. Like, he's going to see every penny of this contract.
Oh, every dollar sign's getting paid. Every dollar sign.
Like, I'm still not entirely sure how you make the finances work if you're the Milwaukee Bucks. But that is shocking because we never, you're right, ever see a player on a max deal get shown the door.
I don't understand how this works against the cap, I guess is my main, like, is this just some creative cap loophole to where they're doing, it's different than the Otani thing, but it's the same concept of we're going to delay the payments over the course of an extended period of time to save us money in the short term. I just want to make sure that I'm inheriting this in the correct way, John. Is that the way that you're interpreting this information as well?
Yeah.
So they're going to take whatever $112 million divided by five is, and that's going to count against their cap for each of the next 5 years? Is that how this works?
That's the way that I'm...
So it's going to be $22 million a year.
It, yeah.
$22 million a year, about 22.5 per year for Dame over the next 5 years, yet he's never going to play another game in a Milwaukee Bucks jersey. And it also is worth acknowledging that by the time Dame gets back from this torn Achilles tendon, he's going to be 36 turning 37 mid-season for wherever he is picked up next. So to your point, I don't know if I would personally ever pick up a basketball again either. I think I'd be in Cancun, Bora Bora, Fiji, wherever, kicking my feet up with my family, enjoying my paychecks.
Oh, like I said to you during the break, you said, yeah, I would go sit in Bora Bora. With that money, I'd go buy Bora Bora.
You may as well.
However, though, moving forward, if you are Dame, it's kind of, obviously it's all hypothetical right now because this is all happening. He just got released in real time. Would it make sense if he is someone who's clearly never won at great heights in this league? Could he not come back after, obviously he'll be out this next season, the 25-26 season, as he rehabilitates that torn Achilles? Could he not come back in 27 on like a low money offer on a contender?
Yeah, he probably should. I think he should.
If he cares about playing, like, wanting to win again.
Go be someone's backup point guard, six man, play 18 minutes a game and maybe rechannel a little bit of what you used to have and mentor a younger point guard type of vibe. Yeah, I could definitely. Like, Chris Paul's done that a lot and bounced around towards this journeyman stage of his career where it's like, okay, I see a young point guard here. I'm going to go mentor and come off the bench and play 20 minutes a game and make $8 million. Something like that seems like the logical conclusion for Dame and his next step.
So I asked you earlier, could there be any moves that could save the lackluster NBA stuff? Does this Milwaukee retooling things, does this help give you a little bit of a spark into this NBA offseason so far?
Yes, it's providing a little bit of juice. I'm starting to get a little bit of juice from the NBA, which is appreciated because it's been a snooze fest thus far outside of the KD trade, which again, I think that the narrative would be a lot different right now on this NBA offseason, John, if an hour after the deadline, you know, was broken or whatever, KD got traded. But instead, the geniuses and the powers at play decided to move him on Game 7 of the NBA Finals on the same day. Just, that really put like a damper on the ceiling of what I think this NBA offseason can be from an entertainment perspective, because it broke at the wrong time in the calendar. Everybody was already juiced about Game 7. We didn't need KD overshadowing that moment or not getting enough allure, if you will, because of Game 7. So this is cool. This is a nice step in the right direction. I still need to see a max contract player get moved. We were promised intrigue and chaos. We were potentially sold the Giannis move. That ain't happening now. So the Warriors pipe dream and the other teams that have been holding out hoping they can get in the Giannis sweepstakes, you're not making these moves unless Giannis is staying and you're trying to retool around him in the immediate future. Texter gets in and says, is Halliburton out the entire season as well? Yes. Torn Achilles is a death sentence in the NBA. You're out the entire season barring miracle and something we haven't seen as far as the recovery time goes. Texter gets in and says, how does the contract work if he wants to go to another team? I don't understand guaranteed contracts if released. Brother, to be honest, we haven't seen anything of this magnitude ever. I'm going to have to do
this
my homework.
This is the first time.
Yeah, I'm going to have to do my homework immediately when we get off air today.
So we didn't even really get to it when it happened in real time. But an hour ago, the Oklahoma City Thunder and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander agreed to a four-year, $285 million super max extension through 2030-31. Holy moly. The MVP of the NBA is making more than the Pittsburgh Pirates.
Yeah. Yep.
What?
I don't really... The money in the NBA has gotten so crazy to the point where I don't even know how to wrap my head around that. Like, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is going to be making $72 million a year on his current re-up. $72 million. And the crazy thing is, John,
the cap is going up.
Cap is going up. So this is going to be the same thing of the NFL where it's like Jalen Hurts breaks the market with five-year, 260, and then Joe Burrow just comes in, like, immediately goes on top of his dome and gets $5 more million, right? And then the next cycle, the market resets, and that guy gets $5 more million a year than the previous guy. It's going to continue to happen in the NBA, and it showcases what a lot of the crux of the complaints are with the NBA in 2025. It's not about the fan. It's about the wallet. And in a weird way, John, I know that this is going to sound crazy, but I promise I've done my research and wouldn't say something as ludicrous as this if I didn't believe it. In a weird way, the NBA is still kind of cheaping the players considering what they are making because of the second apron rule and how that hard caps teams from extending their own players at times and signing other people's players at times as well. So, like, the money here has gotten ridiculous is the overarching theme, and this is what happens when you slap ads on 15 different ads on jerseys and you slap 40 different commercial breaks and you're going to commercial break every review and you've got digital ads that are on the court in the NBA Finals. Like, this is a product of this crap, is ridiculous amounts of money that are being influxed into this business. And again, that's the NBA's job, right? It's an entertainment industry to make money. I just wish as a basketball fan that I mattered more. And I think that a lot of people are longing for that same feeling. And I don't mean me as me, Facts and Childress. I mean me as the fan.
Well, we're searching for that in every sport that we consume right now. We're trying to find it in baseball. We're being priced out of that. Basketball, yeah. You can't relate to the players.
Like, John,
college football, like, I mean, yeah, the fans being not thought of in all of this, absolutely.
I'm going to look right now, and I'm doing this in real time. I'm going to look on NBA.com, and I'm going to go for some official merchandise and read off some prices. I get all mine from China, from DHgate, because I'm not paying the fees of a real jersey, because why would you? So I'm on NBA.com right now searching apparel. I'm clicking on the jerseys tab. We're doing this in real time before we take our final break. If you want a stitched, which is like the good quality jerseys, if you want a stitched NBA jersey that's authentic and like the good ones, right? It's $200 minimum for the cheapest jersey right now on NBA.com for an authentic jersey. And that's the current players. They sell the throwbacks at $300 per jersey. This is how they're... You want to wonder how Shai Gilgeous-Alexander's making $72 million a year? Well, your memorabilia is $200 minimum for the authentic jerseys. And that's not counting the fact of how many people are subscribing to League Pass for $300 a year. And then you talk about the gate and the revenue that you're making at an NBA game where you go to the game. You're paying $50 for tickets. You're paying $50 for parking. You're paying $50 for food and drink.
Guess what? TNT didn't lose the NBA because of bad coverage.
Exactly. They had great coverage and everyone loved the product.
But NBC is paying an obscene amount of money to get the product now. Like, it's...
And this is the problem, is they change the jerseys every year so they can recycle them and run you at $200 more per clip. And it's $100 to get a ticket. Like, I'm going to do some research during the break, John. And I'm just going to look for this upcoming season at season ticket packages and what that's going to run you, because I've done some research. Like, I've been to NBA games in the last couple years with my friends. It's gotten ridiculously expensive compared to what it used to be. So we'll walk through a little bit of that, and we'll talk a little bit more about Shea's contract and go around the horn. I know we got to talk Braves with Grant Holmes getting the start tonight, and they've flip-flopped the rotation. We got to talk a little bit of Wimbledon as well. And I had a couple texts get in on the personal and the Adams Co. Roofing text line, again asking about the Hawks. I know that's one of the local teams. We'll wrap back to the Hawks, who are the big winners of free agencies as well, in the final segment with Faxon and John. Stick with us through the final break of the program here on a Tuesday.
What we love about our ability to help patients at QC Kinetics is seeing their pure delight at finally being able to do the things they enjoy without pain.
I had a patient start treatment with me. He wanted to be able to be active again and do some of his sports that he really enjoyed.
Dr. Ashley Caravelli, a medical director for QC Kinetics, treats patients with chronic joint pain using their body's own biologics. The goal? Get them back to living their best lives without surgery or harmful drugs.
He came back and he goes, "What I wasn't expecting was the ability to play on the floor with my grandchildren. Even just saying it now, I have goosebumps because it's changing those small moments that you take for granted."
Don't let joint pain rob you of those moments. See if you're a candidate for QC Kinetics regenerative treatments.
It just warms my heart to be able to help people live the life they want to live and get those small moments back.
Call QC Kinetics 864-448-3772. That's 864-448-3772. 864-448-3772.
It's boating season, and Eclipse Marine Seneca and Clemson Marina can help you find the boat of your dreams before July 4th. Shop top brands including Veranda, Crestliner, Lund, Bayliner, Pinecraft, and more at Eclipse Marine Seneca and Clemson Marina. Whether you're looking to buy or rent a boat or service your boat by certified Yamaha technicians, Clemson Marina can get you on the water. Don't let the summer pass you by. Visit Eclipse Marina Seneca or Clemson Marina to explore new and pre-owned boats, take out a rental, or service your boat with certified Yamaha technicians. Combine a Bojangles Chicken Supreme with a toasted bun that's great on the go, and you get Bo's Bird Dog. Grab two for $5 for a limited time only. It's Bo time.
Spring is a time of growth, but it can also reveal hidden problems beneath your home. Call Canty Foundation Specialist for a free inspection of the cracks in your walls, uneven floors, and sticking doors. These are signs you shouldn't ignore. Canty provides expert solutions to protect your home. Visit CantyCanFixIt.com or call 864-403-5263. Canty Foundation Specialists.
Canty Can Fix It.
Need a new financial institution? Visit any of State Credit Union's 20 branches. Need to buy a new car? Apply on State Credit Union's website. Need to buy a new home? Call State Credit Union's mortgage department. Need to pay bills on the go? Use State Credit Union's mobile banking app. No matter what financial service you need, you'll find it at State Credit Union. Learn more at scscu.com. That's scscu.com. NMLS number 478278. Equal housing lender, federally insured by the NCUA.
Hey, hon, what's a Vermeer?
Really? Come on, everybody knows that. Vermeer builds vacuum excavation equipment that's changing how underground utility construction is done from right here in Greenville. Soft dig trenchless innovation that can expose underground utility lines without harming them, leaving a softer environmental impact than harsher, more traditional digging methods.
Whoa, you're smart.
Yep, everybody knows that too.
Visit Vermeer.com/dig to see what everyone's talking about.
Hi friends, Mickey Plyler here. I would be thrilled if you join us Wednesday, 6 to 9 a.m. for the Mickey Plyler Show. We're going to talk quarterbacks for Georgia, South Carolina, and Clemson. What's the ceiling? What's the floor for Lenora Sellers, for Gunnar Stockton, and for Kate Klubnik? Also, we're going to get with Andrew Oliphant, Director of Instruction at Katichi. He's going to preview the British Open for us. And we'll talk to Dane Young, UGA.Rivals.com, and some Georgia football. That's when you join us Wednesday, 6 to 9 a.m. for the Mickey Plyler Show right here on The Roar.
Summer heat's rising, and so is the anticipation. Clemson football is coming.
As they operate off the right hash, Kate takes a shotgun snap, back to pass pressure coming, throws it right side, looking for more, one more time. Did he catch it?
He caught it.
Oh, he did, inside the 15.
What a catch.
What a brilliant catch to the goal mark, and inside the 10.
Stay locked in. 105.5 at 97.5 FM, part of the ESPN family.
Kick it!
Final segment of the program here on a Tuesday with Faxon and John. Real quick before we get back into the action, Morgan Coleman is where you need to go with your real estate needs. A proud women's soccer alum from Clemson, upstate native. She's hung up her cleats, but now she spends her time assisting buyers and sellers in the Greenville, South Carolina area. Her goal is to provide her clients peace of mind during one of the most important decisions of their lives. As a former student athlete, Morgan Coleman's got a very team-oriented approach. She wants to work with you, the best solution for all parties involved, and it's important to have early conversations with a trusted realtor to help navigate the current market. If you are considering buying or selling, go with Morgan Coleman. She'd love to chat. 864-313-7639 or search Morgan Coleman Real Estate online to get started. Thank you, as always, to Morgan Coleman and the folks at Morgan Coleman Real Estate. She does a great job. John, final segment of the program with a lot to unpack. We have more kind of news coming out of the NBA world now that Giannis is not happy with this decision. I don't really understand why the Bucks would have gone in this route without getting the green light from Giannis, but this is the tweet. Milwaukee Bucks star Giannis Antetokounmpo is not pleased with the team's decision to waive Damian Lillard and is exploring other options.
Is he mad about Damian Lillard leaving and Miles Turner coming in, or is he mad about the fact that you're eating $22 million per year for the next five that would cost you the equivalent of two quality role players coming off the bench for this team?
I think that's probably why he's a little bit more upset. And I know Giannis and Dame were close as well. That has to play some level of a factor in this. But yeah, again, the Bucks waive Dame on owing him $112 million. They're going to stretch that over 5 years of dead cap hits at $22.3 million per year for the next 5 years against their cap. So that hinders what Milwaukee can do out around Giannis. And yes, you have Bobby Portis and Gary Trent Jr. And, you know, you picked up Miles Turner, and the roster looks better right now than it did, you know, 3 weeks ago, I guess. But I wonder if this is what ends up, you know, kind of breaking the back of Giannis's, you know, stage in this career in Milwaukee, and he ends up asking out. He hasn't asked out yet. Shams reported yesterday that he could potentially be open to pursuing other options. We're receiving similar reports now, as he apparently did not like this decision to waive Damian Lillard. So that's your latest update in the world of the NBA and what could potentially happen with Giannis. And hey, maybe Shams wasn't wrong. He was just a little bit too early. If Giannis ends up getting moved, this will be a crazy offseason, and that would confirm it. So we'll keep you in the loop with what's going on in the world of the NBA, but definitely a lot of chaos today at the 11 o'clock hour, because why not?
Why not? just some of these dollar signs are so hard to process. I mean, the fact that SGA is making that much money, the Bucks are going to eat this type of money. Is money even real in the NBA? I don't know if it is.
No, not really.
The numbers certainly don't seem real to me. Faxon, tonight we have a very big one going on. Actually, you know what? Before we pivot there, you promised all nine of our Atlanta Hawks fans who are listening this morning a really in-depth breakdown of why you like everything the Hawks are doing.
Yeah.
Let's give the people that before we talk about the one of the other pro sports teams in the city. We'll talk about a little bit about the Braves taking on the Angels. And if you got a Falcons take you want to hit, and maybe even some Georgia Tech or Georgia before we get out of here, I mean, let's just make this all Atlanta-based in this final segment.
No, I will say this about the Hawks in all seriousness. I love the offseason for Atlanta, and we've received a lot of texts getting in on the personal text line and Adams Co-Roofing text line on Atlanta. But if you missed the news, Atlanta inks a deal last night with Nikhil Alexander-Walker, 4 years, $62 million with a player option slapped on the end of it. Great value for one of the best 3-and-D guards slash wing hybrids in the NBA. He's one of the best defenders in the NBA, and they now pair him on the wing with Dyson Daniels. That is going to be a menacing duo of defenders next year for the Atlanta Hawks. And then they also ink a one-year, $11 million deal with Luke Kennard, who is a sharpshooter who fills a need. I'm in love with the Hawks team. I'm in love with this Hawks team and the structure of it. I've deemed them the Pacers 2.0, and that's kind of where I'm at right now, which is great playmaker, a bunch of big athletic wings around him to cover for the lack of defense with Trey, who is essentially Halliburton, but a little bit different. And I think Atlanta is poised to make a very deep postseason run in the Eastern Conference this year, given how weak the rest of the league is.
If you're Atlanta, with what you've acquired, would you contemplate now what we have heard in the last 10 minutes of throwing it all together and sending it to Milwaukee?
Yeah. Yeah. You, I mean, you Giannis is the type of player where you have to consider that.
Would that include Trae Young?
probably. It would have to include one of Trae Young or Jalen Johnson for certain to make the money match. But if there is a team that possesses the adequate resources and draft capital to make a move for a Giannis, it would be a team like Atlanta. They just acquired that unprotected pick from Milwaukee or New Orleans, whoever is the worst one. It's going to be a top 10 pick next year because it's going to be New Orleans. You could package that, your own firsts for the next couple of seasons that you have available, and a couple other teams' firsts you've been able to acquire through the grapevine, and you could slap that together with one of Trae or Jalen Johnson and some of your younger pieces like Richey, who is your number one pick. You're going to have to give him up as a part of this as well. But yeah, I mean, if you just want to talk hypothetical packages for Giannis, Atlanta would have a strong one. But I really do like the infrastructure of this team, and I think they might be good enough to win without him, in all honesty. So I would make the move if that comes across my desk. I don't necessarily think that I don't think that's going to happen, but Atlanta does possess the capital and the assets to trade for Giannis if that push does come to shove, or with Giannis asking out of Milwaukee.
So tonight in Atlanta, the Angels are coming to town. The Braves, as I'm looking right now, odds have improved since the pitching change announcement. Minus 200 tonight for the Atlanta Braves on the money line. How do we feel about the Bravos hosting these Angels without Ron Washington in the dugout on the other side? I think that's a huge mental lift for the Atlanta Braves, not having to try to overcome that. Holmes in Truist, I like that. I think the Braves should be able to take care of business here.
Yeah, I think the Braves are going to win tonight. I feel pretty good about the pitching matchup, and I think that right now the main goal is to just get through today so you can get to Profar tomorrow. You have a bright spot coming tomorrow in Jurickson Profar that you're going to be able to insert into your lineup for the fifth time all season after he's concluded his suspension with PEDs. And if the Braves do find a way to backdoor into the playoffs at this juncture, he's not going to be able to play in the playoffs, rather, so that does suck. But you get him for the last 80-something games of the season, and you're going to try and make a chance at try and find a way to make a run at this thing in the playoffs and give yourself a chance, rather. So that's where I'm at with the Braves right now, man. It's been the same talking points for really this whole month, where you've had ups and downs, and now you have a brand new month here in July. I'd like to start that off on a good note. And I will say this, John. It's about everyone not named Acuña and Olson. Acuña and Olson have been carrying this team for 2 months. It's time for everybody else to start stepping up. And I mentioned earlier in the program where we talked about Atlanta, that and the Braves, that I think Austin Riley and Marcell Ozuna are the two players that I'm targeting to really needing to step up before the All-Star break. If those two guys can start to get a little bit more pop in their bat and pep in their step, then the Braves could be in good shape headed into the All-Star break. So tonight's obviously big with Holmes, and you're shaking up the pitching rotation to try and stack it before that off day to potentially skip Fuentes in 2 weeks, which we talked about at the beginning of the program. So it'll be intriguing to see how everything transpires, but I like the Bravos to get it done tonight at home.
What's your lineup card for the last game without Jerks and Profar?
I know that this is going to go against a lot of what I've probably preached. I think you probably just need to just chuck Harris back in there at this point. I know how bad he's been.
To see if it worked, right? If the days off worked.
Maybe this is like one of those things where he gets a couple days off and the mental reset has come to fruition. You're at home. It's a night game, right? He's got a couple days to think about it. Maybe he's been in the cages. Hopefully he's got a contact with Chipper or somebody like that, to where maybe this is something you got to go outside the organization, like in all seriousness, and consult your high school hitting coach and just get back to the basics, man, because Michael Harris looks like a T-ball player up there right now playing in the major leagues, and we love Mike. Great personality, Atlanta kid, you know, somebody that's so easy to root for and rally around. Great defensive center fielder, super fast, great base runner. You can't be this big of a liability in one facet of the game that's so important and still have a positive impact on your team, which is what's been showcased this season. So I would have Harris in the 9-hole and Allen in the 8 for the foreseeable future, with Ozzy in the 7, and then I would stack the 6 prior to that. And you know, right now, I don't think Verdugo should ever play a game for the Braves again. I've said this for 2 months, and I don't know why they keep chucking him back out there. But Eli White should get the start in left field on the last day before Profar is back. And I would put Harris back in center, John. So that's where I'm at on the Bravos.
Look forward to tonight's contest. I'll be fascinated to see if the Braves respond at home, take care of business. And like you said, the last time before Profar gets back into the fray. Looking forward to seeing what they can do tonight. What else are you going to be consuming before we get back on air tomorrow at 9 a.m. within the sports world? What are you going to be following? What are you paying attention to?
Wimbledon. is really what's going to gauge my interest this afternoon. I wouldn't say I'm a big tennis guy, but I'm probably a bigger tennis guy than people realize. I'll watch in my free time. Again, it's on during the day. And for majors and slams specifically, like Wimbledon, and having the grass and the aura of Wimbledon, I think everybody loves Wimbledon, right? But today, what's going to catch my specific interest? I don't know if there's any match or any player that's particularly jumping off the page because it's round one and a lot of these are lopsided, right? Like, Alcaraz got pushed to five sets by Fognini yesterday, so that was interesting for a little bit. But realistically speaking, a lot of these guys aren't going to get pushed very deep. But I'll be tuned into Wimbledon. And then, of course, this afternoon, there are a couple of interesting Major League Baseball games. The Yankees have been really interesting to follow throughout the course of this season with some of their ups and downs. It's Max Fried versus Kevin Gausman at 3 p.m. on MLB Network. That one will probably get my watch up in Toronto. And then you got a game like Padres-Phillies a little bit earlier in the evening tonight. Also, the Pirates have been hot, and I've been tuned into their games, infrequently throughout the course of the last couple weeks. And it's Skeens Day. You know my rule with the Pirates. I always try and get a couple innings with the Pirates when Paul Skeens pitches because he's phenomenal. So, yeah, that's probably where I'll be until the Braves come on at 7:15 is Wimbledon and then the mixed bag of Major League Baseball throughout the course of the afternoon. But, John, there ain't much, and the WNBA is definitely not catching my eyes. You guys know I love women's basketball. I had a couple people tweet at me yesterday because I put out something kind of slandering the WNBA. There's just no intrigue, man. Like, I love women's basketball. I'm a massive advocate for women's basketball. Why are we expanding a league? Like, this is something I wanted to talk about yesterday as well, John. The WNBA is expanding to three more locations, and everybody's, like, celebrating this as a massive success. I don't want to be that guy. Am I missing something? If the league, like, just from an economical standpoint, this is how my brain works, right? It's very fiscal driven when it comes to these decisions that are made by these leagues. The league is hemorrhaging money every year. The NBA is having to keep you afloat with their investment in your product on a year-to-year basis. You don't have any franchise in your league that is turning a profit, and the closest you have is because of one player who is ultimately the biggest draw for your league. So why are you expanding when your league is already hemorrhaging money? Like, I get that you want to expand. I get that we want the WNBA to be a major sport in America. I want the same thing. I like women's basketball a lot. I watch a ton of women's basketball. You guys know my love for this sport. But they don't do a good job of promoting their product. They don't do a good job of protecting their main draw and the best player in the league. They don't do a good job of establishing rivalries. They don't do a good job of establishing drama or intrigue like we see in the NBA. The offseason has nowhere near the intrigue that we see in the NBA. So I guess, John, my question to you is, like, you're not as attached to women's basketball as I am, obviously, but, like, even with me, who's, like, women's basketball fan number one, I don't understand how this league has any sort of plan long-term for sustainability or garnering any level of intrigue when they're already hemorrhaging tens of millions of dollars every year and the NBA is having to keep them afloat. Like, why are you...
you're taking it year by year.
I guess.
You're hoping on the continued growth of the game with Caitlin Clark, with the amount of pros Dawn Staley and Gino are turning year in and year out. You're hoping that the rivalries grow, that the... And I think a lot of it, too, is you're hoping on the next TV contract to be helpful. You know, you're hoping that the... As much as the NBA continues to grow, as much as the women's college basketball continues to grow, that it will spill over into the WNBA.
I hope.
And I think in order to try to get... You've talked about this a lot. In order to try to get these next wave of stars and new faces into the league, we have to have more teams and roster spots.
That is a fair point.
There aren't enough spots to go around, so you'll see the number 8 overall pick get cut during training camp, and it's not a big deal.
Yeah. I like the fact that you're establishing trench, like you're getting entrenched in basketball cities. Like Cleveland, people were clowning on that decision. Those jokers are going to pack it out every night because they love basketball and they have a passionate sports town, right? Detroit, they're going to pack it out. Philly, they're going to pack it out. I've got no questions on whether there's going to be fan reception for these new destinations. My question just comes economically is like, how is this sustainable? Because the answer is that it's not, and it hasn't been for the better part of a decade. So as long as the NBA is willing to keep this afloat, I am in full support of it. I love women's basketball. You guys know how big of an advocate I am for it. I know a ton about the WNBA, but this is just not a draw to me. And like, you need to establish a more well-rounded league and product before you think expansion, in my mind. I do get your points, John, and I think you're correct. Like, getting three basketball towns involved in the WNBA is probably a good thing long-term for the league, right? And expansion is evolution, and there's going to be more roster spots and more players, which is a good thing. But you got to fix what's wrong with the league right now. And that is, You have like four players that draw intrigue, and no one watches your product outside of those four players. And what sucks about that is there are really good players on these other teams. You just don't have the media-driven storylines and agendas like you do in the NBA. You don't have the amount of coverage to get the eyeballs of the NBA. And then also, on top of that, everyone's jealous of the draw, which just is a massive step back for everybody involved, which is that everyone envies the face of the league. If they would support her and realize that, like, that is your only chance at becoming a major and profitable league in this country, then maybe we would be having a different conversation. But instead, everybody wants to headhunt the best player in the league. So that's where I'm at on WNBA, my two minutes on the soapbox there. From a fiscal and economical standpoint, I don't understand the decision to expand, but I do think it's a good thing to have more roster spots for the league, and I hope that they can continue to establish some momentum, John, because it's been looking rough outside of Caitlin Clark games the last couple years, to be blunt.
Oh, it certainly has, and I think that this is the hope and the attempt to, you know, make it more financially viable.
Yes. Texter gets in and says maybe another reason is the owners are getting out of the... Oh, that's on the NBA selling thing. Yeah, we could talk about that a little bit more tomorrow at 654 Roar. Appreciate everybody that got in today on the phone lines and the Adams Co. Roofing text line. And Kwok and Ben will be up next with Out of Bounds. John, we've got a lot to discuss tomorrow. I want to bring some college football related topics to the plate and more NBA free agency talk. Appreciate everybody. See you tomorrow at 9.
WCCP-FM 105.5, Clemson, Greenville, Anderson, WAHT-AM 1560, Cowpens.